Hi, Anna. Welcome to the True Tales from Harrods. How are you today?
Really well, Jenna. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. So this is our second podcast. And obviously the focus is about leadership at Harrods. And I'm Jenna Hurley, the Director of Talent. You're Anna Moyer. Would you just introduce yourself and tell us your new job title, which we will come on to in more detail in a second.
Oh, goodness. I'll probably trip over myself on this one. Thank you for having me. I'm Anna Moyer, Director of Retail Food and Restaurants.
Yeah. And the restaurants bit is the new bit.
That's the new bit. I've been looking after food since I've been here in the last three years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in a second. But food is absolutely at the core of everything that Harrods is all about. I'm sure that you get, when you tell people that you work at Harrods, the first thing they say to you 9 times out of 10 is, I love the food hall, or there's some connection to our food. And it's seeped in history, isn't it? I mean, our store was a greengrocer in 1849, set up by, Charles Henry Harrod. So it just leaks into kind of all the things that we do every single day. And I'd love to know more about that. But first of all, what I'd love to hear from you a little bit is, and I know this is something you're incredibly passionate about, is how your family and your childhood played a huge part in not only maybe the role that you do within food, but also how you show up as a leader every single day. So yeah, maybe take me back to kind of young Anna and some of those experiences that you experienced that shaped who you are today.
Oh, crikey, taking me back. So I grew up in Southampton.
Okay.
And I was one of those children who had working parents and always spent a lot of time with my grandparents. So often summer holidays were spent playing shops with my grandma.
Oh.
So, and interestingly, she came from a line of grocers, greengrocers. So that's for her, there was a little shop under the stairs that she literally made out of little miniatures.
Oh my goodness. And
we used to do a lot of playtime and cooking and baking, which I always really cherished because my mum was really busy. She was a working mum and so grandma really filled that space. So it definitely gave me a passion for, I guess, sort of the level of service. Mm. You know, even then, you know, my grandma, she would correct me when I wasn't giving the right service that you would do in the shop.
Isn't that funny?
It is really funny how it takes you back.
Yeah.
But to pinch myself now... Mm. And know that I'm running that food hall, that iconic food hall, you know, in the world's greatest department store, in my fourth decade in leadership, is pretty cool.
100%.
And it comes full circle, right? My daughter has just got a first for her dissertation on the architecture of the food halls.
Oh my gosh, how interesting. So you've inspired her. You've inspired the next generation then.
Well, the privilege of being able to open up a world to her around, you know, the insight of the food halls and that beautiful architecture is a real privilege for me. And my children are a really important part of why I do what I do and being a good role model for them. So I'm not sure she's going to be a retailer, but she certainly got the passion of our food halls.
And did she teach you a few things with her dissertation about the food halls?
She certainly taught me a little bit more about appreciating it, I think, really.
Yeah.
And the colour and, you know, just the, I guess, the heritage and everything that's so listed. And it's there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And we take it for granted when we walk in every day.
But
I think as a leader, you know, I've always prided myself in being really purposeful in everything that I do. And sometimes I just look up at the wonder in there, especially the dining hall, now that I'm looking after the restaurants.
Yes.
And just think that is something quite special and unique. And you don't find that anywhere in the world.
You really don't. And that's, you know, as I said, seeped in absolute history and heritage is quite profound, actually. And I think, you know, when we have people who join our business, they are in awe. They take, you know, pictures of it and they and selfies in front of our building. And I think that's something we, as you said, we should never take for granted. So what you just described with your grandmother, which is such an, you know, full circle story. It's quite bizarre, isn't it? That actually you spend time playing shop with your grandmother. But it sounds like, you know, that service and the standards that she instilled in you have probably played out in some way, shape or form in the role that you are in today. So I suppose what I'd love to know from you is how, as a leader, have you kind of taken some of those childhood experiences and brought that to, you know, the people that you now lead and manage on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think I feel the sense of responsibility that everybody that comes to Harrods needs to have the very best experience.
Yeah.
So the little things matter.
They really do.
And I think when I see my team really, you know, coming in, putting their uniform on in the most impeccable way, standing behind their counters and having a level of pride around what they're going to show to our customers today, having the ability to taste and sample it with our customers, But spending time having really authentic conversations is really those brilliant basics.
It really is.
And I think every one of my team, it's really important for me that they feel that they've got purpose in what they do and that actually they walk out of here feeling like they've achieved something every day.
Yeah. And we shouldn't underestimate that, those basics and how important that is, not only to our customers, but to the people that we lead, you know, and giving them a sense of purpose is critical. So how, you know, as a leader, how do you share that purpose? Like, how do you, and not like the big grand strategy stuff, like the day in, day out purpose. What do you think that really drives your team in food halls and restaurants?
Yeah, I think saying what you're going to do sometimes, really, and keeping it quite simple.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that because people don't understand the complexity of what we do in retail, but we do have complex projects that we work on, or we have goals to attain that need a level of logistical planning.
Yeah.
But I think the simpler you keep it, the more directed, the clearer the direction, and the fact that you go back and you recognise when somebody's achieved something really is the best way that I've found to just be really clear and directional in what we need to achieve.
Yeah.
Celebrate success, be really clear in your expectations, and just make sure that you are present for the moments that matter. So, you know, example would be, you know, we've just had to close our rotisserie for refurbishment. You know, when we reopen that, I want to be present. I want to make sure that the team in their new environment understand why we've made the decisions we've made, understand how they can best serve our customer, but be part of that experience. And make sure that they feel fully supported in what they need to do. That for me is what's really important. And the little things really matter. Knowing somebody's name really matters. And I take no greater pride than walking around the food halls or in my new world, learning all the names of my team and making sure that they know who I am and that they know that I'm very much there to support them as a senior leader in this business.
Absolutely. And is there, what I'd love to know from you, Anna, is there a part of our food halls, and I know restaurants is a little bit newer, so I'm not going to put you under pressure from a restaurant's perspective, but food halls, you've been there 3 years. Is there a part of our food halls that you maybe connect with, either personally or professionally? I don't know, maybe there's something, there's a type of food that you love in particular that really you're drawn to in, you know, in the role that you do.
As a leader.
Or even a person. I mean, there's so much, isn't there, as part of our food halls.
I think I can only answer that in two ways, really. I think I'll start with people. People really matter to me. So really, as I've said earlier, knowing my team, understanding where their superpowers are, understanding, you know, the things that really get them out of bed every morning.
And we have so many superpowers in food halls, don't we?
We do. And specialisms, you know, the provenance in our food halls is just so great. And, you know, the time that my team take to understand it, you know, the work with the commercial teams around really understanding the difference of, like, you know, features and benefits of some of the wonderful food and provenance that we have. Is really important. And I think, you know, from the tea counter, you know, to charcuterie, through to our chocolate tiers, you know, in terms of our chocolate hall, I think there are some amazing superpowers in there that, you know, you can't take for granted. And that passion isn't something that just you walking off the street with, you know, it takes time and investment. So giving the teams the time to really showcase their interests and their passion is really important to me. And then out of the back of that, then comes people development, right? You know, there's nothing greater in terms of, I think, a success for a leader to see somebody develop or grow and do a new role. You know, we're just about to take one of our till supervisors, which was a new role last year, and give them their very first leadership position.
Incredible.
Yeah, having been through sort of HMP and, you know, using some of the tools that we have in the
which
business.
Which is our Harrods Manager program.
You know, so really ensuring that our teams have the options available to them. Now, it's not one-sided, it's two-sided. You know, this is, you know, you have to put in as much as you get out. And that's really important. But I think I love seeing people thrive, and that's a really important one. If you're going to ask me about a passion for food, I prepared one earlier.
Have you really? Tell me. So this was a little bit of a oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting this. So
it's
this
heavy.
This was a little task we gave you, wasn't it?
Yes,
so to
it was.
Tell sort of to share with the audience what this is all about, because you don't walk around with blocks of cheese, I assume. So we asked you, and I'm going to read this out, to bring one ingredient that represents three things. So your secret to great leadership, a big part of your own culinary taste, and something that's basic but brilliant. So over to you, Anna. Please explain what this is all about.
Well, this is a rather large lump of Parmesan.
Yes.
Jenna, which, and if anyone knows me, and most people do know me, that I love cheese.
Yes.
A bit of a cheeseaholic. There's right. such a thing. Why have I chosen Parmesan? Well, A, it's got a level, look, it's all over me now, a level of complexity in terms of taste level. It's versatile.
Yeah.
You know, my job, leadership, is about being really agile.
Yeah.
And with Parmesan, you know, it not only brings sort of depth and flavour to so many dishes, yeah. especially Italian, which I love,
yeah.
but also brings, I guess, a level of complexity in terms of how you apply it as a leader has to do sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't, it's not as simple. Sometimes you've got to navigate things. Sometimes mm. you've got to take different courses and different decisions. And I think this is such a versatile cheese
yeah.
that it was the nearest thing to represent. Really,
I love
for
that.
Me.
So creative, so clever.
And it smells gorgeous.
Oh, I mean, who doesn't love cheese?
Not that I would ever eat that, as it were, raw. But, you know.
And a fun fact about you, you told me last week when we were chatting about this podcast that you actually went and spent time, didn't you, at Christmas on our cheese counter. Is that right? Have I made that
yeah.
up? No, I am right, aren't I? Yeah,
yeah, you are. Crikey, I probably should explain the why behind
Please
that, really.
Do.
You know,
yeah, because I think it's part of who you are as a leader, isn't it? That's your ethos, yeah. I would say.
I think so. I think as a leader, it's really important to go down and work with the team, mm. as I say, and then come back up a bit and give yourself perspective.
Mm.
And I think there was a particular moment, we were in the grip, we were in the food hall at Christmas.
Yeah, which is crazy times.
Crazy times. You know, you stand in that food hall, you can barely move
yeah.
at times. But it was a moment when commercially we were thinking about where are our opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd missed something quite critical in our planning, which was basically to make cheese platters.
Yeah.
Now, I have no skill in making cheese platters,
you
but you know
now.
What? The team taught me,
Amazing.
They worked with me. And I just gave up a couple of hours a day
yeah.
to help them prep the day in the morning
mm.
And put my hairnet on, put
yeah,
my whites on, got down there with the team and spent time just talking to them mm. about, you know, their day, what some of the operational challenges were, some mm. of the things they were really proud of.
Mm.
And you know what? The team spirit was palpable. And I to this day, if you bought a cheese platter in the food halls, it could have been one that I prepared earlier at
like
Christmas.
That.
But I as a leader, my preferred style, again, I think plays to my authenticity mm. of sometimes you just need to take time out and spend time with the people that talk to your customer every day.
Mm. Mm.
The customer is the most important thing.
It really is, yeah.
And I learned so much about the operational detail from that one moment, mm. which came out of crisis.
Yeah.
But actually gave me an opportunity to connect with my team,
yeah.
which I really enjoy. So cheese is a connector. There you go.
I love that. And actually, we joke, but actually there's a really important message there, which is being, you know, we see these programs, don't we? Back to the floor where, you know, but learning like, you know, the ins and outs of what our teams do, you know, the pros and the cons of that scenario makes you far more authentic, which I know is absolutely such an important part of who you are, not only as a person, but as a leader.
Mm.
But it gives you a real sort of sense of, I get you. I understand it. I know what, you know, I know what you're going through. That, you know, nothing else would really give that level of insight into, I don't think.
You can't be disconnected,
can't
you know.
That.
And I have to make big decisions with yeah. big accountability. And to do that, I need to represent, obviously, the whole of my operation.
Yeah.
And as I say, you know, the people that connect most with the customer is definitely my sales associates and my specialists and my
yeah.
team in the food hall.
Yeah.
And down in Hampers and Wines and Spirits, we're a bit of a dysfunctional team. We're in different spaces, but we connect. And I think that's what's really important.
Mm. Now, as you know, one thing that we're talking a lot about at the moment is, you know, high performance and high performance culture. And Harrods is, you know, absolutely one of those businesses that is a sort of aiming high around that. But what we know is one of the things that kind of makes up our DNA of high performance is the brilliant basics, which mm-hmm. you've articulated very well. But I suppose, you know, bringing it again back to your team, is there a sign or a moment or an experience that, you know, when you walk into a restaurant or the food halls that, you know, your team are in good shape because of something that they do or how they act that really supports that kind of ethos of brilliant basics?
Crikey. I think it's being one step ahead of the customer, actually,
okay.
but in the most authentic way they can be.
Mm.
So I think my initial observations of restaurants is that you know, when you're meted and greeted into a restaurant environment, there's something quite special about somebody hosting you. You know, hospitality is about hosting.
Yeah.
And it's noticing the things that, you know, somebody else might not. You know, when the, I don't know, when someone's just lost their napkin on the floor or, yes. you know, somebody is celebrating something quite special and we've taken the time just to mention that in conversation and do something special by engraving the plate with congratulations or something. It's taking the moment that the customer isn't expecting. And there only needs to be a few and they need to be authentic. But it's about sort of second guessing and having a great level of emotional intelligence around what a customer wants to experience and is wanting to feel that day. And that's quite a skill. But people that work with people need to love people. And I think if you've got that sort of, if you're in tune with people and, you know, emotionally or feelings or a sense of spirit around service, that I think that should come quite naturally to you. So if I think about the brilliant basics within service, it's that real authenticity, that real DNA of somebody who's just prepared to think just a little bit more and one step ahead of the customer to make sure they have the best, most memorable experience in our restaurants or in the food hall.
And you know, we recruit a lot of sales associates, we recruit a lot of waiters. And we always do say, don't we, sometimes you can't teach that sort of stuff, that level of care and attention to detail. Is typically an intrinsic value to who you are as a person. And so service and standards and brilliant basics, we talk about it being, you know, not just something you do every now and again. There's a consistent level of brilliant basics that plays its part in, you know, the people that are on our front line doing that day in, day out, and do it far better than most, any of us, you know, like they think of those things before we even know that that's a thing to do. So yeah, it's really fascinating to hear that that's, you know, it's such a part of your world, I'm sure, that you talk about all the time.
Yeah. And some of it's personality led.
Yeah.
Some of it's just permission.
Yeah.
And it's really unassumed permission. It's, it's, you're not saying it's okay for you to do that today. I want people to feel that they work in an environment where they have the permission, the opportunity, the scope to just do things a bit differently.
Yeah.
If it means wrapping something with an extra bow and that makes the world to the customer, then know that that's something that you can do, that you can influence within your scope.
Yeah.
So I think the way that we inspire and lead people is about them being, well, having a real sense of ownership, actually. It's one thing I've learned through my career is that ownership is one of the most powerful things.
Right.
Ownership with guardrails. You know, we need to keep people safe.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we're not spending copious amounts of money if it's not, doesn't make business sense. But giving people ownership and clear sort of leadership around that, I think is really important.
Yeah, fantastic. So it's an exciting year for you. You've taken on a new venture. So as you said, you've had, you know, you've been leading our food halls with pride for 3 years, and you've now taken on the mantle of leading our restaurants team. So will you just tell us a little bit about that? And I suppose how you're feeling as well.
Yeah. Well, I think you're never too old to learn.
I agree.
I think I talked about being in my fifth decade of leadership, but I have never done hospitality. And I'm no culinary expert.
Yeah.
I love cheese.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I feel really energized with the fact that I'm able to learn, that at this part in my career, I'm able to think differently about how I might structure my teams or my day because the business has given me that opportunity. And I think there is a job to do. And I take that really seriously. I've got a new team to build on one side. I've got an established team on the other side. How do I bring those together? Early days. I'm in my discovery phase at the moment. So if I was to call it now, though, I think some of the areas where I could see synergy between those two areas and what I'm going to call, I guess, a really great food division would be talent, where there's opportunities for succession and talent planning across both of those food areas.
Yes.
I think there are obvious synergies with our compliance world. So food safety, health and safety, ensuring that across all of our food division, we've got the very best compliance standards.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably something in the world of looking after the pennies.
Yeah.
So, you know, our areas of shrinkage and sort of like stock control, et cetera. But, you know, there's always operational basics that you, and again, I've done my classic style where I've gone, I'm going in deep at the moment. Yeah. I'm understanding everything.
Yeah.
I'm being curious.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I've learned about leadership is to be curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I say to my teams, I'm not trying to catch you out.
Yeah.
Not trying to come from a place of bad intent.
Yeah.
I'm coming to generally learn and help guide and direct you going forward as a director in this business in the best way I can.
Mm.
And that takes investment.
Mm.
You know, work-life balance is challenged at the moment.
Yeah.
But I do that knowing that I'll come out the other end of this summer, knowing that I will understand both businesses, understand how I can bring them together, and hopefully taken some of the team on the journey and learned some new stuff, right?
And I think that's really stuck with me, actually, because, and again, we had a conversation last week that it's never too old to learn, right? And actually, also, being in a place of vulnerability, you know, you have thrown yourself into an area that you have no expertise around. There is absolutely synergy, of course, across both of your worlds. But being kind of brave to not only say that you're the experts here, guys, I'm just trying to learn from you and help you along the way, and you know, lead you in a space that, you know, I'm learning as well.
Mm.
But, you know, not everyone says that. And I think that's really important and also really authentic to who you are as a leader. So has that surprised people, or what's your experience been of kind of almost owning that and admitting that?
Yeah, I'm not a leader who's at all afraid to talk about vulnerability.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I make some of my best decisions, actually, when I'm in a place where I'm challenged.
Mm.
And that's because I would always collaborate. I'm a big collaborator. So making decisions, not by committee, but by sort of information and insight is really important to me. And you can't do that if you don't sometimes say, I haven't got the answers to this.
Yeah.
Need a bit of help here.
Yeah.
And we've got so many functions around the business where, you know, the insight function or the people function or, you know, working with commercial that help you make really good decisions.
Mm.
So I think, you know, whether that's seen as vulnerability or not is about me just being really open to different perspectives and points of view.
Mm.
And I think that's important because I don't have all the answers.
No.
So what I do is I hold the accountability, which I take really seriously.
Yeah.
And my job is to ensure that people have got the best direction that they can possibly have on my watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I know we're coming to an end, so I just have two more questions for
you.
So we've talked about, you know, as a leader, bringing, you know, the, I suppose the experience that you had in food halls to restaurants. But how does that show up on a day-to-day basis? Like, if you were to sort of just describe that in non-leadership language, what does that look like for people to really understand? Like, how are you going to make your food hall team work really well with your restaurants team?
Crikey.
Maybe you haven't got that far yet. I don't know.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was talking to one of your colleagues before the podcast about my star sign, actually.
Yes. Well, we've got a lot of star sign people, like, lots of people interested in star signs. So yeah, please carry on. Yeah.
I'm a Capricorn.
Right.
I'm driven, I'm responsible, I'm ambitious.
Yeah.
All of those things are in there.
Okay.
But I need to check myself sometimes and make sure that I'm not running off before I'm taking my team with me. But it's a really good reminder of me of just... Yeah. That ambition is well placed generally, but sometimes I just need to make sure that I'm not in the, to your point, simple language, the highfalutin managerial psychology language that all of us have learned along our career, depending on who we've worked for and what experience we've had.
Mm.
Sometimes simplicity over complexity is exactly where I deliver some of my best moments of leadership.
Yeah.
And I literally link that back to my star sign because I'm a goat. And I'm a really simple goat. I just, what you see is what you get. Yeah. There's no agenda with me.
Yeah.
I work purely because I want to look back on my career and my time and know that I've achieved something in my life and I've done something that will be a really important role model for my two children.
Yeah.
And I love working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, when you keep that as simple as what it is, we come in every day, we do the best job we can for our customers, for the teams we lead, and hopefully make some money along the way.
Yeah. Important.
That's the simple goat that I am.
Oh, well, I would love lots. I'm sure there's lots of people who would love to be simple goats, and the way that you lead and that kind of level of authenticity and vulnerability is you know, hugely important. So our final question, and you might have already answered this quite honestly, because that was just the most perfect answer. So when you think about your time here at Harrods, what's your legacy? And what do you hope that your leadership will leave behind when you leave Harrods one day?
Goodness. I don't think I ever want to stop working. Can I just say that out loud? I would like to leave a legacy where I led my part of the business in this generation with integrity. That's probably as simple as it gets, yeah. I think, really. That I did the right thing when I needed to show up and make decisions. That I was always very purposeful in what I did. I was present. I was somebody who connected with what I call our office, the shop floor, and didn't hide away from spending time understanding our customer. But I'd like to think I made a difference just to a few people on the, along the way. Harrods has made a difference to me, which I really value and will always look back fondly on. But we're just passing through, right? So in the time that I'm here, however long that is, I want to make sure that I've done whatever I've done with great integrity.
So Anna, before we go, we do have a little gift. So take that bag, have a little look what we've got in there. Maybe you can show the audience and read out what's on your...
Oh, wow. Well, I've got a little Polaroid. Thank you so
much. That's your memento, so we can remember our time together at all costs.
And a lovely personalised frame. Dear Anna, thank you for being our guest number two on our True Tales from Harrods podcast. You're an inspiring leader and incredible guest. We'll never forget the cheese moment. May this remind you of just how truly amazing you are. Love from Jenna, Raj, Odwin and Gigi.
And that's our team that support us here today to make all of this happen before we even arrive. So yeah, thank
that's
you
really
to the
kind
team.
And really lovely and personalised.
Yeah. Well, Anna, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you today and hear about, you know, not only your journey as a leader, but also the journey ahead and what that looks like. Maybe we should put a date in the diary for a year's time to understand kind of how that's all kind of unfolded.
I won't be bringing cheese. I might be bringing something different.
Well, I hope you're going to leave that for us all. So no.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for your time today. We've, it's been a lovely, lovely 30 minutes chatting to you and we'll speak soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Jenna. Thank you. Thanks.